All right, amen. Grab a Bible. Let's go to Matthew, first book in your New Testament, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. It's a good place to start because we're doing a follow-up, a part two, any of those sort of things. Matthew 9, and I think probably go ahead and stick your little marker or something in Psalm 23 in the Old Testament. About the middle of your Bible, crack it open, you'll find Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Psalm 23. But let's focus first on Matthew chapter 9. We recently did a thing on as sheep having no shepherd, sheep without a shepherd. And we're not going to go through the things again, but I'll say this to you. How important are these truths to the Lord Jesus Christ, since the fact that Matthew 9, which I've directed you to, verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I'll just tell you here up front, we're talking about human sheep. So he said, as sheep. Occasionally, people go to the other extreme and they try to dissect what sheep are like and make people like them. But that's not what our Lord Jesus Christ is telling us here. So we're going to talk about as sheep with shepherds, but we're going to talk about what the Lord Jesus Christ and, of course, New Testament teaching, Paul and Peter, taught about it. And here's why. How important is it to Jesus Christ that those who call upon him and be saved and become his sheep, as we spoke of in our last message, how important is it to him that they have a shepherd? He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Why? The harvest truly is plenteous, the laborers are few. What is this harvest? We're going to mention this later, but sheep provide for their master. Sheep provide. Now, you can provide meat for your master. That's a one-shot deal. Lamb chops, lamb, get a bit older, mutton, or you can provide wool on a yearly basis for your master. And so how important is it to him? He said, pray you therefore the Lord of harvest, he will send forth laborers. How important is it? Well, God has sent men, sometimes alone, but many times with their wives and eventually their children, but God has sent men to the four corners of the world with this prayer right here. God has taken people and sent them to jungles and mountains and danger and hardship and separation. It is only this last 20, 30 years that has had the kind of communication we have. For 2,000 years, you had to rely on something traveling by ship in a parchment or whatever you could find to send, and sometimes to go all the way around the world, practically speaking, and cross the oceans of the world, and then get into the correct hands. And so God, for 2,000 years, has sent men with their wives along to the four corners of the world with this prayer. Now, I totally understand, and mind you, that modern missions is corrupted. I get that. See part one of our lesson here. He said to him in Matthew 23, and if you want to remember some things in your Bible, remember it as the woe hypocrite passage. He says to him several times, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. And at the end of hypocrites, he's got an exclamation point. So he was being emphatic, whether you like it or not. He was not saying, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and you hypocrites. No. Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Something along that nature. It didn't have to have animosity in it, just exclamation. Matthew 23:15, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. And there are many a believer who might not be a child of hell today, but they have been victim of this modern missions. And my business as a missionary And anybody's business as a sent one is God's sheep. Do we preach the gospel? Absolutely. But God saves them. Okay? And then God sends us. Now, he'll send you to places where he's already seen in his foresight, not his foreordination, his foresight that people are receiving Christ. He told us to go. As Oswald Chambers says, he didn't say go and you do it. He just said go. And you say why? Because you see a greater need one place than another? Not necessarily. He just said go. That's all he said. So we look at this matter, and God, at great discomfort at times, sends. Here is the challenge of modern missions. The sent ones seldom take on the burden our Lord had. And there are few, if any, men like the Apostle Paul nowadays. In Acts 20, we mentioned it in this last message, on sheep without a shepherd, he said, I cease not to warn you night and day. That's what it takes. It takes Bible studies. It takes nighttime Bible institutes. It takes discipleship and training. And it is true today. It is true that many an independent Baptist missionary is almost like he's on an extended holiday. And it is pitiful. And they'll do these little sorties and go out and do little sorties and all that. Now look, in my day, we did many an outreach. But in the meantime, through the week, what we were doing was we were having 4 and 5 nights of Bible institute and Bible studies in other cities, and we were taking care of God's sheep. You see, if God's sheep decide, I want a shepherd, Lord, please, but I want one that'll teach the Bible and preach the Bible and love the Bible and point me to the Bible, not like the leaders in our last message, then the shepherd has to do something and pay a price. And so, shepherds, real ones, not mere leaders, okay, are what God says to send. So we're going to talk about human sheep and God's will for your life. Now, let me say this too, please. Get this. Shepherds, you can be a husband and be a shepherd. Now, God doesn't want you being one of those kind of shepherds, which I've met, that purposely keeps your wife or your those under you or around you from getting under a real shepherd. I've seen them run into them, you know, and they've got this splintered, fractured view of themselves and elevated of themselves and critical of others. I get that. But never let the exception overthrow the rule that God uses shepherds. You might be an employer, have employees. You should treat them to some respect like a shepherd. And then, of course, there's pastors. And there's pastors that help pastors. And so I want to take a little bit, a few minutes this morning to talk about as sheep with shepherds. So let's talk first of all about this, that sheep scatter without a shepherd. Now we mentioned that he said that he had compassion on because they were, and then we talked about that situation. But let's look at human sheep here, sheep scatter without a shepherd. There's a few ways you see this. For example, on the first day of the week, you will find a saved Bible believer in almost any place you can think of, besides in a church building, and here's why. Because there's somewhere where there's nothing to do with standing. And let me say this, you are better off online with the purest of preaching and teaching than you are in a modern, typical, fundamental Baptist church today, and that's sad. I hesitate to even say it because I realize it's so sad, but it is. Do you know one of the great hindrances to God doing Matthew 9:38, sending him into his harvest, is that all these abundant leaders that we spoke of in the first message, all these abundant leaders are pulling in people who know better, who've been trained better, who've been grounded better, who themselves should be trying to help others find the truth. And they pull them in because they don't want to lose fellowship, perhaps. And I get that. I get it. I understand. Fellowship is a blessing. But fellowship is not a prerequisite. See, real sheep are often spooked by hirelings. I don't know if you know anything about sheep. But sheep get spooked. If you'll study this sheepdog thing just a little bit, what you will find out is that these sheep, and any type of animal that's used to shepherd them, sheepdogs, those sheepdogs have very much the same posture and attitude as the sheep itself. You send a blue heeler out or a cattle dog out to move sheep and you got problems. If you ever get a chance, you could read Keller's books on that. It's very interesting. Now, on the first day of the week, you might find them at the lake. You might find them at home. You might find them wherever, just out doing stuff. Why? They've been scattered on the first day of the week. On family days, they end up favoring people in places they wouldn't if they had a shepherd who was standing at that holy desk for them to sit under. Now, it may be just a typical little pulpit or something, and that's okay. And it may be that somebody has abused their authority, as we spoke of about leaders in our first message, but beware, it is a holy desk. It is a holy place where God meets you. It could be a kitchen table, but it's holy. On family days, they end up at parties, birthday parties, and celebrations where normally they'd be in church. And normally they would say, you know, I'm not going to miss church for that. I'll be happy to, you know, send a present. I'll be happy to wish well. First day of the week, they're out scattered. Family days, they're scattered. Ready on fearful days. On fearful days, they seek refuge, protection from financial or mental or emotional or relational or psychological fears. Why? Because they're sheep and you're supposed to be. You're not supposed to become this hardcore person just because you might not have a personal shepherd on hand at the time. And that's why you don't want to take those things and go to some heretical type. Let me say something. If somebody's messing with any of the mysteries of God, if somebody's messing with the timetable of God, if somebody's messing with what it takes to be a child of God, if somebody's twisting and turning what it takes to be a church member, you better be careful. That is heresy. I don't know, some of you have watered it down and acted like, oh, that's just personal opinion. Really? Well, if it wasn't for those people and there's nobody around, what would you point out to a new believer? What would you teach a new believer? What would you honestly say? You know the Bible says, see, and it's contrary to what those people are doing from that pulpit, and so you've shut your mouth. So, on fearful days, they're in all sorts of places. When a shepherd comes along, he'll need to be patient but firm, patient and firm, both words, shepherds, and help them out of that dependency. It may take a little time and help their dependency on these other means. Why? Because sheep without a shepherd on the first day of the week, they wander. On family days, they end up tangled up where they wouldn't normally be if they had that stability. They end up on the fearful days where things come your way. It could be anything. And then on fair days, fair being like, you know, fair weather. In other words, good weather. They let their guard down. They wander into things that they may not be bad, but they're not good. You get me? Sometimes it's not, Lord, what's wrong with it? And the Lord says, no, but what's right with it? Maybe they prosper, so they buy them a little extra piece of land, or they get a place on the lake, as they do around here, or maybe a beach cabin, or get them a recreational vehicle or trailer or something, and they go on trips. And see, none of those in themselves are wrong, but without a shepherd, without this routine, without this accountability, what happens is sheep, there's no shepherd to stand before them routinely and say wise things. There's no shepherd for them to be accountable with. And so pretty soon they are sheep, but they scatter. It doesn't mean they're not sheep. And listen, if you are a shepherd or called to be a shepherd and you're like, well, I can't believe they're scattered. Well, of course they're going to scatter. The Bible says so. You know, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let me tell you what it tells you. It tells you that sheep are going to scatter. They're going to scatter and you're not going to find them on the first day of the week if there's no shepherd, or on family days, or fearful days, or fair days, and then on fatal days. Let me tell you what happens here, guys. On fatal days, a believer who's a true sheep but been scattered, he or she finds themselves in conflict. For example, they believe, but because they may have wandered, some people around them are surprised at this sudden resurrection of their faith. And they haven't been off necessarily in deep, dark sin or something. They just have been lukewarm. And so the people around them are like, well, where's this coming from? Well, maybe they worry about the soul of the person who dies. Or maybe they realize this is such an important time for eternal life to be offered. Sometimes they worry because their faith hasn't been fed. See, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And you know we've spoken to you all the time about your faith. So on fatal days, when something happens and brings mortality to light, fatality, someone passes, young or old or middle, sheep without a shepherd are caught out. And they're wandering. And they need someone. And a typical hireling mainly cares about whether or not they've been in his church or they're going to get in his church, and that's his whole focus. Or whether he can get some scalps, whether he can get some head count and tell somebody some people got saved. All right, not just fatal days, but frequent days. So what do you mean that? Well, on the frequent days, which is every day of the week, their devotional practices and their life tends to weaken. Maybe it's neglected. You say, well, they shouldn't. Really, you don't ever do that. You don't ever wake up on the wrong side of the bed, right? You don't ever wake up in your routine. And now some people's routine is literally just that. It's a rut. I didn't say change it. I'm just saying change the motive behind it. Now watch. The weekly admonitions from God's pulpit, the weekly admonitions from the holy desk, to read our Bibles and pray and sing and memorize daily, they're essential. See, the world practices this far more than believers do, far more. The world pays people large amounts of money, okay? Large amounts of money to help them keep their habits. There are guys who make $1 million a year not playing a sport, just helping somebody else keep their habits. There are managers who make six figures and high six figures because they help keep things frequent. So sheep, human sheep without a shepherd, they scatter. And on the first day of the week, you might run into them almost anywhere. And on family days, you'll find them maybe involved in things that later they realize. And sometimes when they got to get it straightened out, the family's like, well, how come before? And you're, it's just your church won't let you. And you're like, no, that's not the problem. The problem is I didn't have a place to assemble. I didn't have anybody to listen to. And it's not that man in the pulpit that's the problem. It's the fact that I didn't have somebody or I didn't find somebody. Now, let me say this. If you're within the sound of my voice, and it's mere convenience that's keeping you in a compromising church, the person you got to worry about is not me or the shepherd that God provided that you're just too lazy to go hear or submit to, but it's the great shepherd. The great shepherd of the sheep sees everything. And so not just on those family days, but on fearful days, on the fair days, on the fatal days, on the frequent days. And you say, why all that? To remind you that there's more to this thing of shepherding than just go to church. There's more than just hearing a sermon. There's more than just having a place to go and having to show up on Sunday. There's more than just, now watch, a lot of these leaders that we mentioned last time, these scribes and Pharisees, these hypocrites, they've made it all about the church. Now, the church is the instrument that God uses. The church is the meeting place that God uses, but he does use it. And the reason you have a time to be there is because if you didn't, can you imagine what it'd be like? People wandering in and out whenever they felt like it. You wouldn't do any event on earth that way. I mean, even when they have walkthroughs and exhibitions on, they have times for it. Because if they didn't have times for it, and then if they're going to have something special to draw people in, they have them at a certain time. And suddenly people happen to get to the exhibition at a certain time. So Without a shepherd, they're scattered. With a shepherd, you know where to find them on the first day. You should. You know where to find them on family days and fearful days and fair days and fatal days. And you know where their focus is on frequent days. All right, number two. These are sheep with a shepherd, all right? Sheep are simple, yet complex. Okay? Sheep are simple, yet complex. And I'm talking about human sheep. So you might say, human sheep are simple, yet complex. Now, sheep are simple at their core, at their core. You know, they talk about sometimes in counseling all that, you know, peeling off the layers of an onion. It's not a bad analogy in this sense. It's not that psychological counseling is necessary, because most of it isn't necessary. A lot of it confuses the issue. But at the center, at the core, sheep are simple at their core, because pure and simple, it's this: we're born fallen. Okay? We're born fallen. Now beware of this modern thing of TULIP, T-U-L-I-P, the first one being T, total depravity. It is not your nature, it's your nature that's fallen, not your will. Our will is intact. And you know that because that's how Adam fell. For by one man's disobedience, Romans 5. So the reason we have to beware of, I didn't say there's never a place for some help, but beware of the psychotherapy type thing, is because most things are a will issue. You know, most of the times we get twisted around and we get complex because we've exercised our will against God's, or we've exercised our will against others, or we've exercised our just our self-will, and we call it being, you know, well, I'm not just a doormat or sheep, and I'm not saying that anybody should be a doormat. You know that. If you've heard me preach and teach, you know all that. But what I am saying is this. About 99%, if not 95, maybe 99% of it is a will issue. Because at the core are simple issues, maybe three of them. Now, don't hyper divide what I'm about to say. This is just an overall generalization. There's three things. There's will, there's belief, there's action. And if you were drawing something to give you an idea, under will you'd put spirit, small s, spirit of man, spirit of woman. Under belief, you'd put soul. Under action, you'd put body. And so it's simple. It's so simple. Yet, you have to be skillful. Now, not artful and sneaky, but skillful. Preaching and teaching are essential. Why? Because it helps get to the core without destroying the person. A lot of our modern fundamentalist preaching that thinks I'll cross your will. I will. I know that. I have many a time. And people that God's even used me recently in their life will tell you, you know, there's times we'll cross each other's swords. But at the same time, that mean-spirited preaching, that pride, that arrogancy is not of God. Because they're not going to peel back the onion. They're going to take a sledgehammer and smash it and say, what's wrong with you? And they themselves are the ones with an anger issue and a pride issue. They're full of themselves. That's why training, and specifically along those lines, is absolutely necessary in the book. That's why Oswald Chambers had Bible psychology, biblical psychology, biblical soul training. So what I'm saying is this: sheep are simple, yet they're complex. So they're simple at their core. Okay? They're also simple at their comfort. I had you turn to Psalm 23. Would you go over there for a minute? We're going to spend a couple minutes in Psalm 23. Now, obviously, if you're a shepherd listening, I hope this will help you, this whole message. If you're a sheep, I hope it'll help you understand the difference between a hireling and a real shepherd. See, you are simple, and I am simple at the core. Yet we're complex because we've got all these different ways of hiding the core of where we live. But at the core, we have will, then we have belief, then we have action. When the three are not in harmony, we have conflict. We become complex when we try to deal with that conflict without just getting it right with God and straighten it out. And so good Bible preaching and teaching helps us with that. the one place it takes us back to is the cross. If there's anything the cross represents, it's will. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life. He wasn't even as a soldier that went into battle and lost his life. He laid down his life. It was the point from the beginning of him becoming incarnate, that is, into a human body. So you understand the cross was, and cross represents horizontally, okay, the will of man, cross. Going up to God vertically, the will of God. The cross is where God's will and your will collide. They cross. And it produced the death of Jesus Christ. He took upon him the sin of the world. Now, dear brother and sister, your sin is just as wicked as the worst sinner that ever lived. It's sin. And any sin had to be paid for in the same way. Every single sin had to be paid for in the same way. So sheep are simple, yet they're complex. Now, they're simple, yet they're complex. And they're simple where? At their comfort. Now, you would think it's really complex. You know, have it your way and all these different things. Have you ever noticed how many colors of everything they sell and how many different styles and how many different kinds of transportation are out there and how many different kinds of computers and phones and tablets and eyeglasses and ball caps and shoes. And it's just unbelievable. Why? Everybody's trying to get fulfilled, but it's all simple. They're simple at the core. They're simple at their comfort. Now watch. Psalm 23. It's a great place to learn a little bit about human sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Simple at their comfort, okay? Satisfaction. You know what happens to a human sheep, a saved person, when they get under a good shepherd? They have a chance for satisfaction when they get under the right guidance and the right voice and the right teaching. That's why the world bombards you all every other minute you're not under that voice. Now, reading the Word of God is what feeds your soul and spirit, even your body, on a daily basis. But somehow the ministry of the Word is so unusual and mysterious and special that God says, get under it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Satisfaction. Do you understand? Satisfaction is not the same as complacency. And satisfaction, dear friend, is not the same as apathy. God can actually have some things burning in your heart that you are asking him to do and you're preparing for him to do. And yet, I promise you, I've been in there for years, and yet you're satisfied, all right? Look at this. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Surroundings. People resort to quiet, serene, peaceful surroundings when they're under the right influences. You say, well, I know it here in the United States, spring break, everybody goes out and parties in excess and riot. Okay, they're not under the right influence, friend. Nobody in their right mind wants to expose their body, their mind, their heart, and their memory to those things if they ever understood what it can do to you later in life. And so this is why on surroundings, the church is to be clean, yet simple. The music is to have vitality, but be serene. Do you know why you know that this modern kind of music, this modern kind of bringing the world's music into the church is not of God? Because it doesn't create peaceful surroundings. It creates carnal surroundings. All this kind of music that's coming out of all these different places, contemporary stuff, it soothes the flesh, but it's not creating that surround. So church is supposed to be, the meeting house is supposed to be a place of generic surroundings, because you have people from every walk of life, you have people of all ages and all backgrounds, and because we are simple yet complex, we go to the core of it and we find the core comfort of it and those surroundings. Picture that. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. All right, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Not so the church looks good. Not so you have a testimony. You'll have a testimony. But that's not supposed to be your motive. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Not just satisfaction, not just surroundings under the shepherd's leading, but security. And let me say, please, these things that shepherds do that are right have to be passed on, teaching others also. And what's happened is there's been in many, many places a break in the chain, a break in the cycle. The baton, the baton has been dropped. And a lot of it's just out of sheer convenience. It is sacrifice to carry on the work of a shepherd. Do you remember what Jacob said about watching that flock for Laban? He said, I would lose sleep at night. He said, I've been up all night watching them. Well, the third thing is security. We read verses 3 and 4, he restoreth my soul, security. We all want a sense of security, security in employment. Security because we have an education. They're pushing education. Why? You'll have a job that way. Security in our escrow, our savings, our setting aside, our investments. Security in events insurance. Security in our eventual passing from this world to the next. And so you know what a real shepherd does? He provides secure truths. These fellows who are authors of doubt, who cause you to doubt, you know, that you got dunked in water after you were saved, but the right person didn't do it. What a load of rubbish. But now, after even though all these other men taught it and it's clear in the Bible, now we're going to go through the tribulation halfway and blah, blah, blah. Those aren't secure truths. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2, they'd be troubled. So a shepherd provides secure truths, anchored thoughts. And so we as a whole are comforted by security. You say, well, what about those risk takers and thrill seekers? You know what it is? They rely upon that for a sense of security. They feel like life is what it is. You say, well, they're just not afraid of anything. No, they're afraid. Because they don't know how to be satisfied and how to enjoy the surroundings and be secure without that buzz. Be careful. That's the modern thing in all these leaders too, by the way. Verse 5, Psalm 23. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Sustenance. Now you know the Western world spends billions of dollars a year eating. You might say dining out, but I don't know if you could call going to McDonald's. I don't think you could possibly consider it dining out. You're eating out. Okay, you know what the picture is? He prepareth the table before me in the presence. The picture is somebody serving you. Someone setting the thing out before you. You know what eating out says? We're well off. We don't need to pinch pennies at home and serve ourselves. But we do, most of us. We just forget it. You know, that home meal that's set before you, God designed it to be a comfort. And if you'll study that thing out, that's why so many different, even earthly groups are trying to get people, families to eat together. Because they don't know it, but that's the way God made it. God made it that way. See, a lot of times people are just fighting God. So this is why shepherds labor to serve up a spiritual feeding, which the great shepherd has directed them. And when he directs them, then they're able to do so and they're able to feed people and they have no idea what that person needs. And there is a picture, by the way. You don't have to know every single person's diet to know what's good for them. And so the shepherd prepares what's good for them, hoping they'll partake of it and come and partake and process it. And so because it's good for them, it can't hurt them. See, it's not some little old diagnosis, man, today, all this pharmaceutical stuff. If you're taking this, beware of this and this side effect and that side effect. And by the time they get done with the list of side effects, if you got any sense at all, sometimes you're like, man, well, I don't want all those side effects. I don't even want to risk them. And then for comfort, okay? So Psalm 23 shows us about the Lord being our shepherd, and it shows satisfaction. It shows how important our surroundings are. It shows where we get security and sustenance. And then quickly, there's the sense of eternity and longevity. Look at verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As he would say in 1 Thessalonians 4, after he talked about the rapture, the catching away of the church before the tribulation, he said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Not comfort them with hyped up music. Comfort them with these words, these truths. You know why it's so important? You can be walking. You can be living in a jungle. You can be living in a swamp. You can be living out in the middle of nowhere, in a desert, on a mountain, tending animals or livestock or crops. And those words can ring in your heart when there's no electronics, there's no digital, there's no satellite, there's nothing but the words of God and the words of hymns going through your mind. All right, so sheep scatter without this human shepherd, human sheep. And then sheep are simple, even though they're complex. Okay? And so they're simple at their comfort. And in this comfort, we get it as sheep, and it teaches us as shepherds what to do. All right, quickly, human sheep are successful as sheep only when they're shepherded. Now, they may survive as sheep. They may survive as sheep, but they're successful as sheep only when they're shepherded, and never let the exception. See, if you say, well, I know a Christian, just a thriving Christian, and they didn't have a church to go to, they're the exception, and praise God for them. And it's possible they should have been helping other sheep is what they should have been doing, or instead of hiding in a bad church with a good name. And by the way, there's a lot of that going on today, okay? All right, now watch. How are they successful as sheep? Well, see, here's the thing about sheep. They exist to provide for their master. Now, a living sheep, a smart sheep, wants to provide wool for his master, because to provide meat is a one-shot deal, okay? Years ago, I was in the Snowy Mountains down there where the setting of the Man from Snowy River, you know, when it was wintertime, and we happened to have the blessing of getting to move some sheep that day and at a property, and they had this big piece of iron, a flat iron, laying out on some rocks in the middle of a field, and I wondered what it was for when we rode up there, and this guy started a fire, and it was snowing, the wind was blowing just slightly at an angle, and we had hats and oilskin coats on. We were rugged up against the wind and the cold, and they had killed a lamb that morning. They had fresh lamb chops, fresh bread from the bakery. They had fresh churned butter. Oh my goodness, I could have stayed there the rest of my life. And we stood there and ate that, and I was like, boy, you know what? This is good. But that little lamb could only do this once. Sheep exist to provide wool for their master. That's why when you talk about business and you talk about salespeople and deals, they talk about shearing sheep used as a description of separating people from their money, and rightly so. But I would have you mark a verse in the book of Revelation, last book in your Bible. While I speak, please turn over there if you're able to. Revelation chapter 4, you're going to want to mark this verse. And if you've already marked it, you want to look at it again and again and again. It should be something that never, ever leaves your consciousness. Why are you here? Someone says, why am I here? Why am I here? I get up and I go dig ditches, or I get up and I go sweep floors, or I get up and I go do this and that. Why are you here? This tells you why you're here, amongst many other verses, but this tells you why you're here. Why am I here? What is the reason for my existence? You might say that when you're rinsing out the diapers, the nappies. You might say that when you're changing the baby. You might say that when you're mowing the lawn. You might say that when you're driving the nails. You might say it when you're on your way to work and it's repetitive, or it's difficult, or it's demanding. Revelation 4, verse 11. Revelation 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Who's saying this? Verse 10. The 24 elders, fell down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy. God has a right to you and everything you have. You aren't here to beautify the world. And for most of us, myself included, that's a good thing, because I wouldn't be able to do that, beautify the world. Now, it's a beautiful picture when you see a flock of sheep in a green pasture. It's a nice picture, but that's not why you're here. They're in the green pasture, they're beside the still water, because they're growing wool, and they're going to be sheared, and that wool is going to bring return for the master. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And it's also true that under shepherds, the human shepherds that are on this earth, must give their life for the sheep first. Training time. Talents surrendered, titles left off and foregone in this world, time given back totally. They lay down their life, not find it in this life. I know way too many young men, you say young, late 20s, 30s, who are in the ministry, and everything they do actually demonstrates. They don't realize it half the time because they're so full of self. Everything they're doing is about them. And even when they do gestures, it's about them. And their preaching is about them. And their desire to get asked to preach again is about them. About being used. That's about you then. It's not about the sheep. They don't lay down their life. Why? Well, training time. Do you know a person who's really called to preach the book and teach the book? They have to spend hours and hours. David spent his youth out there on the hills, and there was no substitute for time. You have to surrender your talents. You have to take and say, Lord, my physical talents are yours. My finances are yours, whatever it takes. And I'm going to do it ahead of time before I see anything that you might be doing. Lord, I'm going to leave my titles off. Listen, you can have titles, but you're going to have to sacrifice your faith and your beliefs and your doctrine to get them. Oh, no, now I can get my doctorate through so-and-so. You can. But I know guys who... that's what they want by their name, is Dr. So-and-so. And to get it, because God told them to be faithful to the word they were given, the title was more important than the training. And then time given back. Most fellas today, their schedules is about them. See, they exist to provide wool for the master. Now, here's what's amazing about sheep with a shepherd, human sheep with a human shepherd. They learn to give. They learn to serve. They learn to submit. So beware of the counterfeit, but don't throw away the real. Oh, yeah, they want you to give. They want you to serve. But it's not for the shepherd of the sheep, the great shepherd. These leaders, these hirelings stand between. They block out the light. They block out the vision. They overshadow the so-called sheep. And those sheep don't get a view of the great shepherd. But a real human shepherd shows that sheep and teaches that sheep to give and to serve and to submit to the shepherd. And so God gets use of you. He gets use of your money. All right, they exist to provide wool. They exhibit, now watch, exhibit where they've been. When you look at a sheep, you can tell where they've been. If they're dirty and, you know, and they've got the briars and the prickles and the different things stuck in their coat and the mud and stuff, you can tell where they've been. Or they get cleaned up weekly and daily, and you can tell where they've been. I'll give you an example. If you give God respect when you go to church, now no one said everyone has to wear, like, say, a shirt and a tie and a jacket and all that. I understand that. But if you give God your best on that day of the week, it is inevitable that somebody's going to say to you, where have you been this morning, church? And your reply ought to be, well, absolutely. Yeah. Not out of pride, not of arrogance. Yes, I have, but you have not. No, yeah. Say, yeah, absolutely. Amen. It's not where I used to be on Sunday mornings. Okay? You see, out of church isn't the issue. But being out from under the influence of a shepherd is an issue. Now, you can be in church, but you're still not under the influence of a shepherd. You're under the influence of a leader, of a scribe or a Pharisee or a hypocrite. So shepherds get God's mind and they communicate it. All right? Now, look, a lot of them are not artful. They're not making speeches. They're not even shouting and getting you all wound up like some kind of pep rally. In fact, I'm weary of those guys that are always doing that. That they cannot just talk with you and get you motivated about who God really is. They exhibit where they've been. Where they've been on the weeknight. Where they've been on the weekend. You know what? That's why we have weeknight Bible studies and weekend Bible studies. He said, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now watch. He didn't say assemble with whoever you can. See, this is what's hindering the work of God today. All right, thirdly and quickly. Sheep, successful sheep, okay? Successful sheep are only when they're under a shepherd, but they exist to provide wool. They exhibit where they've been. But now get this, they're an example of God's will for mankind. Now, I know many of you are believers who are listening, most likely all of you. If you're still listening, amen, I hope you are. Because, yeah, it's a challenge. It is a challenge to us as believers when we know that we cannot just take the easy road while someone else takes the hard road. We don't make the hard road on purpose. The world has done it. The flesh has done it. The devil's done it. But Romans 12, 1 and 2, and I'm going to give you a moment to turn there in case it's somewhat new to you, but many of you know this verse. Romans 12, 1 and 2. When I say that successful sheep are under a shepherd, successful sheep, okay, are only when they're shepherded. And there is the exception where someone is just shepherded by God and it's just out of devotion, but they saw in someone else and they were shepherded at some time or did a lot of shepherding, and so they've stuck with it. Now,